This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram. Kick is back. And of course, everybody's favorite place to watch comic book talk shows, LinkedIn. I'm still looking for a job. So anybody watching on LinkedIn, hit me up. My whole resume is there, guys. Did I say that pathetic enough?
You did. It was kind of sad, but also endearing, and I hope somebody hires you.
Oh, thanks, man. Now, speaking of being hired or being fired, I think before we welcome our guest onto the show, we got to talk about some controversy that cropped up online. Pete, there's been a lot of Pete heat on the street.
Do you want to address
what's going on here?
I've been taking a lot of heat, and, you know, I didn't maybe enjoy Superman as much as other people would have wanted, and because of that, I haven't gotten death threats, I got friendship threats, and apparently somebody who is a big part of the show and someone I consider a very close friend no longer wants to be my friend, and it's crushing me. It's killing me inside, and, you know, I've turned to drinking. But just a healthy amount, you know what I mean?
Okay. Turn to drinking, the thing that you do regularly and every week.
Tuesday when we do the show? Yes, exactly.
Very cool.
So don't read into it.
For a little more context there, we put up our review of Superman, the new movie, on the Sons of a Gun podcast, which is our DC podcast. So if you want to listen to it, we talked for a while. I think it was like an hour and a half talking about the movie and probably could have gone longer on it. But Pete, at the very least, you were, I believe... not to call this out, but you called it mid at
one
point.
Well, that was in a heated moment. Okay. But I also, like, it just didn't hit me right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I was expecting one thing, something else happened, and, like, things started to snowball for me. Overall, I thought it was enjoyable. I wasn't as, you know, swept away as I would have liked to. Like, even in the beginning, when he's just flying like this, not putting his hands out, I was like, why does that feel weird to me?
Here's my question. I hear what you're saying, but why does he need to put his hands out?
I don't know. He's Superman, right? He can fly through anything.
Drag himself forward.
I didn't think about it ahead of time. Yeah, I didn't think, like, get myself ready. Like, you might see a new way of flying. Brace yourself. Get yourself ready. Because I was like, you can't fly that way. That seems dangerous and reckless. You need to put your hands out first.
Right, because otherwise the bugs are going to get in your teeth.
Exactly.
He's protecting himself from the bugs. That's
exactly.
What he's doing,
100%. Yeah.
100%. So you're 100% right about that. It's funny that Justin did get any heat for calling us freaks on the podcast for having some criticisms about the movie, but He died in the floods in New York, so I guess.
Which is, you know, how he wanted to go. You know what I mean? He was out there in the subway busking, you know, and he got taken down.
Yeah.
There was this one producer who tried to throw him a line, and he just missed.
And he's like, I am a line producer. Yeah. It was crazy stuff. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's Pete's apology for his Superman review. You could listen to the rest of it. I think you and the unnamed person who may be Brent Macris are still friends. He said so.
I hope so, man. It broke my heart.
All okay. Go listen to the full review. But why don't we move on to our guest here now that we've moved past our apologies segment? He is the guy behind Word Burglar Rhymes with Comics, which is on Kickstarter now. Ladies and gentlemen, Word Burglar.
Hey, Bergie, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Oh, Pete, wow. I feel like we've just have known each other forever. Alex, thank you guys for having me. This is bananas. And you know what? Thank you. I have not seen Superman yet, but I appreciate the relatively non-spoilery.
I tried. He does a little bit, but
you know he flies in the movie now. So that's, I hope that spoilers on that.
I can spoil Adventures of Superman 547, comic book, because I was in it when I was.
Really?
That's my Superman thing.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah,
Speaking of that, wait, hold on, Pete, don't
interrupt him. Let him finish the story.
Okay, I was, but I felt like it could dovetail, but please.
No, I...
dovetail away from the information he was...
No, because it could be on his wall. You know what I mean? He has a sick nerd wall. Oh, maybe that issue is right there, and he could grab it and be
when you're in front of a campfire, Pete, when somebody is like, it was a dark and stormy night, you're like, now hold on a second. Let's talk about that fire and those s'mores real quick. Establish what's going on.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, you were in a Superman comic.
I did, a humble brag. When I was a kid, I won an essay writing contest through actually Diamond, rest in peace, previous magazine. And it was write an essay about your favorite comic book shop. And I wrote it about the world's best comic shop, Strange Adventures, in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Oh, Halifax!
That's where I grew up, in Halley.
Shout outs to the facts. Oh,
that's
shit.
That's right, Nova Scotia.
And, man.
You know Nova Scotia? Little Nova Scotia smoked salmon? Not too far. You guys both in New York? Or where?
Yeah, in New York. Yeah. I've never been to Nova Scotia, though, but it seems very nice.
Made famous in the popular film of the 80s, Ghostbusters, when Rick Moranis is going on saying, I got some Nova Scotia smoked salmon. Come over to my house. That was, like, huge. Like, I don't know about you guys, but whenever Nova Scotia got shouted out, and
everybody was like,
you said Nova Scotia.
I mean, you got shouted out in The Goon, the hockey movie.
Yeah, that's right. The Goon part of it, I think, was shot in Halifax.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the first one. Not The Goon by Eric Powell, which is a great comic book series.
Yeah.
It's my choice of Goon media if I'm going to be consuming a Goon-related item. But Adventures of Superman 547. I won a contest. Stuart Immonen, the great Stuart Immonen, drew me into this comic. DC called me. They said, you won the contest. Pick any DC comic, and we're going to draw you into the comic. Wow. I was like, and I instantly said Superman. And I caught heat from my best friends who were like, why didn't you pick Batman?
Oh, and I was like,
come on, guys, it's Superman. Like, I was on the spot. It was crazy.
Right,
you know, either one.
I think DC, you're going to,
So here's my only regret. And it's not a regret, but it was the month that Superman got that electric blue, the white and blue.
Okay.
So I meet Superman when he doesn't really look like Superman. And I had to tell everybody, look, here I am with Superman.
And they're like, that's not
Superman. That's another guy.
Yeah.
He's blue.
Looks like Frosty the Snowman, the Frozen. He's Frozen Superman. That's what he was.
But you have an insane nerd wall behind you.
Do you that story is great, but more important.
Well, it is a great story, but it's also connected to being a nerd, and it's driving me nuts because I'm like trying to pay attention to him, but I'm looking at through his collection and looking at all the amazing stuff. You want to highlight?
Kate Beaton's Ducks, a fantastic book. Stray Bullets, Omnibus, Dave Lapham, one of the absolute greats. The Scioli, Tom Scioli, Jack Kirby, and I Am Stan. Those are some great books. Crisis on Infinite Earths. Perhaps you've read. I have all the crises, my own personal crises, and many crises. I don't know. Here's a rare one that I actually was reminded about. Battle Hymn. This is a book that I don't think anybody read except maybe me, by B. Clay Moore and Jeremy Hahn, and came out in that kind of dark period of the early 2000s when very few of us were actually still reading comics. I've never stopped reading comics, and I just found this trade paper. This was kind of in that era where everyone was kind of doing an Ultimates type book, and there was like so many different ones. There's also Halcyon, which is a really good image, kind of like a Watchmen. I'm speaking to the choir here, but yeah, I was like, reorganizing stuff. I'm like, I got to reread this, because when this came out, I was really into that. So there's a tip.
Check that out.
I worked in at Strange Adventures after winning the Superman contest. They were like, well, I guess we got to hire you.
We got to hire you.
And working there in high school. And then I went on to work at Silver Snail in Toronto, which is basically, like the Midtown Comics of Toronto. And always read comics. Like, there's that pocket of time from like the mid-90s, probably the 90s to like 2010, 13, 12-ish, I don't know, where I knew everything. Like, just like you, Alex, I know you guys are reading stuff every single week, where I was just on top, because being the guy in the comic section, just reading everything every week, and it's amazing the stuff looking back, like what I remember and what was just like, oh, I don't remember that like Thor run, but dude, did you remember like this or whatever, like when Runaways first started, and Runaways and Invincible and Why the Last Man, all this stuff was like exploding, but like that trade paperback scene had still not quite, like the Vertigo stuff of the 90s was like still picking up. And like, I remember when that Buffy trade paperback series, I don't know about you guys, but that blew up for us.
Oh yeah,
because all the Buffy fans started coming to the comic shop, and then they were waiting for the next volume or the next issue. And then being the comic shop, you're like, well, here, try Why the Last Man, try Fables, try these other things, and doing that like comic shop retail thing. Anyways, that was a good era.
It was a great
going
era.
All tangential.
No, that's fine. But, stay
like
on the tangent.
The DC tangent.
Like the tangent universe, which is now back partially. And anyway, it's fine. Let's actually keep on the tangent or slightly get back on track, because you are a musical artist and you have a 100+ page comic book anthology called Word Burglar Rhymes with Comics. It's a graphic novel tying, it syncs up with the soundtrack that you've created. It's on Kickstarter now. It's killing it. I'm looking at it right now. Your goal was $5,475 with 15 days to go. You have gotten $19,977, which is awesome. You're funded. That's great. But I do want to mention before we get into any of this, that every week on the show, we have a professional chef down in New Orleans named Brett Macris, also known as Pete.
Stray Bullies.
There you go. Coincidentally. who runs an amazing restaurant called Shift. If you're ever down in New Orleans, definitely check it out. But he either curates or creates a cocktail for us based on the guest. And this week he made Word Burglar Rhymes with Cocktail.
Hey, see what he did there?
And it is Canadian whiskey. Per your province, orange juice, pomegranate juice, Amaro maple syrup, again, probably a little bit of the old Canada there, orange bitters, and orange. And there you go. It sounds delicious to me.
Oh, yeah, that sounds amazing. Thank you. And yeah, that sounds nice. The orange mixed in like a penicillin, you know, an orange whiskey. I think it's penicillin is what they call that drink. Yeah, that sounds delicious. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm honored.
There you go. We'll send that your way. But in the meantime, let's actually talk about the Kickstarter, or rather take even like a little bit of a step back. So you've been creating songs and comics for a while. I think it is pretty obvious given your interests. So where did the idea come to bring the two together?
Well, I've been making songs about the stuff I loved ever since I was a kid. And the stuff I loved are comic books and baseball and sandwiches and all kinds of fun things and old school hip hop. And I've always teased the two. Like, I've made a lot of songs about comic books, and I've done a lot of comic books about characters and themes from some of my songs. But I've never actually put my songs into comic book form. And I've wanted to do it for a long time. And one day it just kind of clicked on me that I figured out how I could execute it on a level that I'd want to read it. And, you know, I've read a lot of comics, as you may have guessed, and I've listened to a lot of music. And I was like, well, how can this work? So I started pitching it to comic book artists, and they all started saying yes.
Yeah.
And what my plan was and is, and now the book is really happening, I wanted every word on the page to just be the song lyrics. I didn't want it to be like, and then Word Burglar turns the corner and he's surprised to see a giant stereo or whatever. It's like, no, I want you to put on the music, read the comic, enjoy the pictures, enjoy the visuals, and the words on every page are just the rhymes in the songs. Simple concept, right? And, you know, there have been music comics in the past, but I've never really found one that kind of did this way. I mean, nobody did it with Word Burglar songs. And for anybody who's never heard of me, which is most of the world, I've got like over 200 songs. I've been doing this for a long time. I was making mini comics and mixtapes when I was in junior high. Ooh. And I've just like never stopped doing it. And yeah, I'm really excited. It's a 100-page full-color graphic novel. Steve McNiven of Marvel, Civil War, Logan, Nemesis, the new Daredevil, he did the cover, which is crazy. That's the art on screen right now. That's Kalman Androshofsky. People may know from NYX. He also did the Captain Canuck reboot, which was big here in Canada. I think you might have got a few copies down there. Kalman's actually on a new thing with Zeb Wells, I believe, which is exciting. And Brenda Hickey from My Little Pony. That's Dave Howlett, who is, I think, one of Canada's best-kept indie secrets. I mean, he's kind of like Earth's best-kept secret, if you're asking me. But Dave's kind of like this Ditko, Allred, Perez, Byrne, his own thing, Jim Rugg, like, I don't know what, like, just this awesome, and he can draw anything. He's an incredible artist. And we've got 15 artists. I could go on about everybody on the book. Troy Little from Cult of the Lamb, Mike Holmes from Wings of Fire, Jason Lowe, who just got announced he's doing the new Iron Fist book. And they all, I pitched them the songs thinking like Jason, for example, Jason Lowe, I know he loves Star Wars. And I have a character called the Tauntaun. And it's a song about a Tauntaun who moves to Toronto. And
of course,
similar climate to Hoth. Okay, good.
Yeah. And the thing about Toronto is you think it smells bad on the outside.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. Man, you guys are killing it. Yeah. And so I knew Jason loved Toronto, you know, Star Wars, and he's from Toronto, and he did another comic set in Toronto. So I was like, bam, that's perfect for you. So I kind of handpicked everybody based on their skills and abilities and interests and pitched them the songs. And then I plotted out the stories and worked with them on each page and panel and yada, yada, yada. Next thing you know, we got this Kickstarter launch, and now I got to make some room here in the Wordburg lair for all the boxes, because we're smashing stretch goals. We're doing cassette tapes. We're doing compact discs.
Wow.
Because CDs are back. And right now we are pushing to get the vinyl. So, and the numbers are in Canadian. So I'm actually not sure the US number, but once we hit 35,000 Canadian, which I think we're at about 27 Canadian right now, 27,000. If we can get to 35,000, then we're going to do vinyl. So it's a vinyl soundtrack. Wow. You put it on a turntable, read the comic, and that's what I used to do. I used to listen to Wu-Tang Clan and read Guardians of the Galaxy by Jim Valentino and Savage Dragon, G.I. Joe, and all the good stuff. But, you know, those songs didn't sync up. You know, Eric Larson wasn't, you know, doing the soundtrack to Wu-Tang Clan, but
sure wasn't.
But now Word Burglar is doing the music in the comics. So,
well, you're definitely speaking Pete's language for sure, particularly that last part. When you're crafting a song, obviously you're controlling the rhythm that people are listening to it at. That is part and parcel with what you're creating, what you're crafting there. With the comic book, you can't do that. So how does that change, if anything, how you're executing on the story you're telling graphically?
That's an amazing question. And I can tell you're a comic book reader and a music, you're a music head. It's true. And that has been like this whole thing has been a really big experiment and learning, like a lot of challenges to be like, yeah, how is this pacing going to go? We do have some moments where there's like a little bit of just a musical interlude where there's no lyrics. So there's just no lyrics on the page and something's happening. Mm-hmm. A character's just sort of walking past this old mysterious building. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess people are going to have to reread the comic a few times and play the and figure out their own pace, because you may just want to pause it, because some of these pages, that's the problem I'm running into. I'm getting this art back from these artists. I'm like, guys, this stuff is so good. And it's for like three words of the song, and I don't want you to just fly past this page. I want people to like stare and take it all in. So that's the great thing about comics. You can read it without the music. You can read it with the music. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, do it however you like. And
so you didn't have like a little thing. It's like, you know, turn the page. You
know, like no, I mean, I do have my old, I'm like, Planet of the Hoojibs.
Oh, cassette, look at that. Which, nice.
Which may be the real genesis of this. Mm-hmm. The poor forgotten like Hoojibs who were written out of Star Wars canon. But this is actually credited to David Michelinie, who also...
Really?
He did Carnage and the Hoojibs.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, the Hoojibs.
Since you are getting this great art back and it's making you potentially think about your songs in a different way, has there been anything you've tweaked and changed, or do you feel sort of like locked into the songs the way that they previously existed?
For this volume, I have kept the songs as they exist. So essentially, because I'm dipping into my catalog, like I picked the 15 songs that I thought would translate into cool comics, you know, the best and fit together. Also as a mixtape, because I was creating it, you know, like any good mixtape or album, you don't want like a lot of songs that feel the same. You need a good variety. You need the pacing. You need the ups and the downs, the chill, the big bangers, etc. So I was looking at it from that way of crafting it. How is this going to be like a good mixtape soundtrack? And then visually, how is this a good variety? Like we've got your science fiction, we got fantasy, we've got humor, we've got action and adventure, we've got like just nerdy, like there's this whole song about the Other Shop, which is the worst comic shop you've ever had to go to because they were the only place that had that X Factor back issue that you needed. And but you know, your girlfriend didn't want to go there, and it was just like, but you had to go to the Other Shop. But you guys feel the pain. So, but for volume two, which I'm like already thinking ahead for future, like I'm definitely thinking in terms of like, oh, how can I push this even further and do a song that is crafted more like write a brand new original song with the intention of doing it as a comic book first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, it's just opening up a lot of doors and cool. Like in my brain, and maybe it'll open up other doors, but one company's got in touch with me, so we'll see. But yeah, I don't know.
I also love the idea of like you getting art back and then that be the inspiration for the rhyme, you know? That would be kind of a cool way to do it. I don't know. But
Like a jam, like a comic jam.
Yeah, yeah.
An improv, do a whole show and create the comic.
We have a couple of questions here on YouTube I wanted to bring up. Stray Bullet asks, are you going to set up a Spotify playlist to go with Word Burglar Rhymes with Comics?
Absolutely. You're a genius. And yeah, we're doing that. There's going to be the whole album's going to be, I'm going to do a Spotify playlist. There is digital. You can get the Bandcamp. We're going to do it. But yes, that's a great question. And awesome. I figured that would be the easiest. Personally, I don't use Spotify that much. I'm on there. My music's on there. It's awesome. However you want to listen to music is great, especially if it's my music. But I usually default to Bandcamp for all my digital stuff. But yeah, it will be. Yes.
Derek Maynard says, besides Wu-Tang, who were some of your musical influences?
Oh, like, you know, New York, like all of New York 90s, basically anyone there. Masta Ace was huge, like the storytelling, Masta Ace, the rhyming, nice. Lord Finesse, like the whole Digging in the Crates crew I love. Like Lord Finesse, to me, always had like the best wordplay and was just really clever, you know. Of course, like all of Wu-Tang Clan, like Cool Keith, another classic, like Ultramagnetic MCs. Cool. Yeah, you get it. Like when I was really young, you know, I got addicted off like Public Enemy, LL Cool J, Run DMC, Fat Boys, like really like a lot of that old school, like mid to late 80s pioneer hip hop stuff. And like later into like late 90s New York, like again, like all the Lyricist Lounge guys, Thurston Howell, Company Flow, like on and on and on. And then like Hieroglyphics and Farside and like a bunch of the West Coast guys. Like, I mean, yeah, just rap. And then here in Canada, like we have Maestro Fresh West, who I guess a close similarity might be like a Rakim or a Big Daddy Kane or Cool G Rap. Like Maestro Fresh West is a living legend here in Canada. If you're not familiar, go look up like Drop the Needle. That was like this breakthrough song that Maestro had back in the 80s. He's still going strong now. So he was a huge influence. There's a Canadian group called The Rascals, Buck 65 and the Sebutones, Joe Run Bombay. Like Canadian hip hop's crazy. Like just like Canadian comic books, you know, I was just reading Captain America by Chip Zdarsky, who I know, he's from Canada here. I'm sure you guys know Chip.
Yeah.
And Ryan North just did the Fantastic Four. So there's like the Canadians are in the comics and the rap. Anyways.
Do you know WeFunk? Because those artists you listen to, I've always, because they're a Montreal kind of radio group that plays like a lot of the original before, you know, you heard it in hip hop, you kind of heard it in funk and stuff like that. And it's they play like, what they'll do is they'll play the original song and then they'll play the kind of like hip hop hit. And they do a lot of Canadian hip hop artists. And so.
Oh, cool. I don't know them. Yeah. WeFunk.
Yeah. WeFunk Radio.
Okay.
It's pretty.
Write it down. I got the sharp.
Yeah, two Canadians who have amazing hip hop knowledge. So
awesome. This is from Nowhere Manchild. Berg, what are your favorite G.I. Joe Sunbow cartoon episodes?
Oh, yo, wow,
dude,
nice.
This is the best podcast. Well, look, the easy one, first one comes to mind is a two-parter, Worlds Without End, where they wake up, you know, they get transported to this other world where Cobra rules, and coincidentally I have a song about it.
Your Cobra song is hysterical. It really cracked me up, man.
This guy
watches, he's a fan. You can tell by the lyrics, like that video was fire, man. That
dude,
was awesome.
You got to get the whole album. I'll send you a copy. Welcome to Cobra,
please,
Island.
Dude, oh Cobra. Yeah, that would be Cobra. Awesome, man.
We're working on the sequel now, but yeah, Worlds Without End, it's terrifying, messed me up as a kid because Ralph Pulaski, aka Steeler, he's running around. He goes in the G.I. Joe bunker and sees all their like machinery and vehicles are destroyed. And there's all these skeletons on the ground. I still remember watching it. It's like, I was probably 5 years old.
Dude.
And he holds up the dog tags and goes, Pulaski. Or he's pointing. I think it's Grunt picks up the dog tags and he's reading the dog tags to him. He's like, Graves, that's me. And then Pulaski's like, what's that one? What's that one? And then he goes, Pulaski. And at that point, you just knew these guys by like Flint and Spirit and Lady J and Steeler. But then he's like, Pulaski, that's me. And it's a skeleton. And I was like, yo, this show is crazy. So that's probably the best Sunbow one. But, you know, there's a lot of good. Master is pretty good. Baroness in a Bikini. We all like that. So
I just want to share. I've also was scarred as a kid by G.I. Joe. So I feel very seen right now because I was watching the episode where Snake Eyes sacrificed himself and went into the mine because they couldn't get out. Mm-hmm. And then my dad kicked me out to go do chores, so I didn't get to see what happened. And I just thought Snake Eyes died. And I like went to school the next day, and everybody was like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "Snake Eyes died." I don't know how we're supposed to go on.
I'm laughing. It's empathetic laughing. I understand. I feel like we need to do our own sidebar podcast now.
Yeah, I'll get off of here. It's fine. It's good.
Because I can feel, you remember in Humanoids when the guy melted the skin and he ripped open his chest and they touched the people and they decomposed?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. This is the best, most fun I've had on a Tuesday night in a while.
I did want to get back to something maybe slightly more seriously that you mentioned earlier that I was really curious about.
Hoojibs,
because
right?
I'm sure, well, we actually had Schoikler says Hoojibs were brought into the new canon. Unsurprisingly, it was Kevin Scott who did it. He writes Star Wars comics, among other things, so there you go.
Yes.
But what is your philosophy on constructing a mixtape? Because I'm sure you have one of those, like the rhythm of how it goes, tying into obviously what you're crafting here in the comic.
That's a great question. I like to open strong. I mean, depending on how you're setting the mood, right? You know, if it's a romantical mixtape, if it's going to be a big party jam mixtape, you know, is it a car trip? Like what's your vibe? In this regard, I wanted to start strong with a big banger. So we open with Verbal Pursuit, which is basically like an intro track. And if people aren't familiar with me and what I do, it's a whole bunch of like, you know, lyrical verbal gymnastics or whatever you want to call it. And it's just a bunch of crazy rhymes over like a pulse pounding beat by Beat Mason, some cuts in there, like just like an old school, like bam, like wake up, listen to this song, read this comic, and then we just start going, and then we just start rolling with like a catchy variety. It goes into like track two. What is our track two on here? Is it, do we have From Earth next, and then Sega Was Bad, which is a song about Sega. So also like thematically, so thematically, like if I open with a song that is like, you know, just kind of like a straight up rhyming, like, let's just have some fun. Let's do like that, like metaphorical gymnastical stuff. And then like From Earth, which is just a song about me just explaining to aliens where I'm from and why it's good. We've got the Minnesota Twins. We have, you know, soda tins. It's, this is Earth. It's good. You know, there's a lot of great stuff here, you know, and that's where I'm from. And then Sega Was Bad, like a video game theme. And then just going through, like, I'm not going to put two G.I. Joe songs back to back or two, you know, two X similar. So it's just like in that regards, it's an interesting kind of like a nerd balanced mixtape. Like, okay, well, if you're not into like Barbarians and Conan and Dungeons and Dragons, you know, but you might be into, you know, this haunting track about a comic book store, you know, that's, I don't know. I'm just trying to think. And then just also what sounds good sonically, like the beats. There's a lot. Like I think a lot about it.
Well, and I know I keep getting back to this, but as you're getting the art in and you're starting to look at these pages, is that changing the order of the mixtape at all?
That's a good question. Yeah, some of the pages, that was another thing. Like there's been, again, this is all a lot of, I've had a lot of good learnings, as they say. Because some of the, you know, the comics range from like two pagers. We've got like a pinup and a lyric page with like a classic like comic book pinup. So these two pagers all the way up to like a 12 pager. And there's a bunch of different lengths in between. So yeah, that was, luckily I kind of did the math in my head and figured it out. And like my old days of making my own photocopied zines at the Kinko's and like knowing how to do the pages. So luckily it all worked. I'm like, okay, good. We've got a two page spread and it works. Because you don't want to have, you know, the wrong page. So I didn't have to reshuffle too much, but yeah, that was definitely a concern. And then like we've got some cool back matter and bonus pinups and surprises in the book that I think people are going to get a kick out of when they see it. Like if you're familiar with any of my catalog, there's a ton of fun Easter eggs that we're throwing in here, and it's just, yeah, it's super fun.
Are you going to do an essay contest where people can write in an essay and then you'll draw them into the comic, or what's up?
Well, I am now, Pete.
Yeah, come on. I'm ready, man. I'm gonna write an entry.
Yeah, tell me what your favorite rhyme is and why. I want 500 words.
Oh,
and,
easy.
Excellent. Yeah. Pete's on it. He's on it. Before we start to wrap up here, I know you just touched on this a little bit, but if people are interested in the Kickstarter, again, it is open until, I'm going to get the date here, July 30th. But what can people expect? Like at sort of the basic level, what will people get from the Kickstarter?
Awesome. Yeah. Main buy-in, which I recommend, is $35 Canadian. You get the book, which we've actually hit the stretch goal. So it's going to be an oversized book, like, you know, like there's standard comic size and then like the oversized, like these Marvel books that are just slightly bigger. So we're doing oversized. It's soft cover, not hardcover, but, you know, maybe one day. Less shipping when it's soft cover. So at $35 Canadian, which I forget what the US rate converts to, but it's like cheaper. You get right now, that gives you access to all the unlocked stretch goals. And we have a ton. So there's like stickers. You're going to get some cool magnets. Cause you get a cassette tape, you get the CD, you get a tote bag for your graphic novels and records. Both go to the comic store, go to the record store. The Word Burglar tote bag will be there for you. And that's free when you support at the $35 Canadian level or higher. So that's sort of your basic thing. And then of course you get the soundtrack digitally. Then there, we have a black and white cover variant, a Kickstarter exclusive of the Steve McNiven, because it looked so good in the black and white inks.
Yeah, we got in the comments, someone plugged a great Hulk homage you did there.
Yeah. So. Dude, he did that Steranko thing. He surprised me with it, and I was like blown away. Because, you know, you want a dynamic cover that just jumps off the page. James White did the coloring on that. He's phenomenal. Signal Noise, check him out. And then, like, there are other tiers. You can get, like, a custom rhyme. Like, I'll do a custom rhyme for you. I have a retailer tier, Rhyme Your Business, where I'll do a little video rhyming about your shop. Plus, you get a whole bunch of copies at a retailer discount, so you can, you know, sell the books in at your store and make more than your pledge back. There's handwritten lyrics, which is a thing I do, where you pick a Word Burglar song and I write it out. And I have very nice penmanship. I'm no Rick Parker, but I'm not too shabby. I knew I'd get you there. But I mean, my lettering style is developed based off the, you know, reading comics. Cool. Yeah, and then you can get like my full discography. There's also add-ons, because you get some of my vinyl and stuff like that if you want. We've got great t-shirts. But honestly, just check it out. Like, if you're not familiar, I put a ton of info on the Kickstarter page. Just type in Word Burglar Rhymes with Comics, or just type in, I'm the only Word Burglar on Kickstarter, so type that in, or wordburglar.com. And there's songs and videos and lots of art samples. And the book's done. Like, I was literally proofreading it today. So I didn't want to launch the Kickstarter until the book was ready. Smart. So you're not... But now with all the fulfillments of like vinyl and stuff, that is going to take a bit longer. But the book itself is going to the printer like by Friday is my goal. So people won't have to wait too long. So we, because I support a lot of Kickstarters, and you know, it's nice when the stuff's good to go, right? Like I started this at like the lowest level that I could afford to make this book happen, and luckily we've surpassed that goal, and now that's why we're all getting these stretch goals. So it's fun. I hope people will check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
It's cool. Awesome. Word Burglar, congratulations. Thank you so much for coming on. A pleasure chatting with you.
And yeah, Berg, sure, you take care of yourself. Till next time.
Say hi when we're in Nova Scotia.
You guys too. Anytime. All right. Peace.
Take care. All right, there we go. As he mentioned, it is Word Burglar Rhymes with Comics, number one. You could search it on Kickstarter now. Do go pledge it until July 30th. It is awesome.
It's a cool Kickstarter to check out. You know what I mean? It's got so much stuff. You were scrolling through it on the show.
Yeah, but when you check it out, also give it some money, right, Pete?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I'm just saying, like,
don't
someplace...
just check it out and be like, great, click.
I'm saying it's worth the effort.
Yes.
You know, no pressure how much money you want to spend, but it's definitely worth checking out is my long-winded point.
Excellent.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book, it's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And less long-winded, but just as good, we are going to move it on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. I'll take a little looky-loo at Instagram as well. And LinkedIn, we can't do that. I'm sorry. But, you know, hire me. Like, I need a job.
Yeah, you definitely need a job.
Yeah. I need something to do during the day, Pete. Because I'm going a little crazy.
I bet. Your kids are sick of you.
Yeah. What are you drinking, Pete? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a little vodka.
It was orange.
Just like the orange in the Stray Bullies special that he made.
Yeah, but you're not drinking. Did you put orange juice in it?
Nope. Oh, it's a little Stewart's orange and cream.
Oh, so it's like an afternoon screwdriver.
Sure.
It's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thanks for giving me nothing, Pete. We don't have any questions yet, so send those questions in. In the meantime, anything else you want to apologize for?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, Nat is in Rochester. That's fun. He's in the Ra-Cha-Cha.
You got any recommendations for Nat, places to visit?
Go get a garbage plate. You know what I mean?
And you say that every week, whether we talk about Rochester or not. Give another recommendation. What's a good place to visit in Rochester? Is there a good comic book shop in Rochester?
Oh, man, yeah, there's plenty of great comic book shops
in Rochester. Feel free not to mention any of the names.
I won't, thank you. But I, there's a lot of great beer places. There's a lot of great breweries, you know.
Sure, you want any specifics, just like literally any name.
Jenny, Jenny's got a good one.
Okay. Jenny, like this is a person, Jenny, or the name?
No, Jenny, like cream ale, you know what I mean? Like the old Jenny beer, you remember that?
Oh, Geneseo?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. We have some actual questions now. Straight Bullet says, in the Discord, we all bonded over how hard it is to get our kids to eat. Was there anything you grew up hating to eat but later grew to love?
Yeah, there was a real difference. I noticed that when I was broke, my kind of things that I wouldn't eat as a kid kind of went out the window real fast. You know, like as a kid, I didn't like tomatoes as much in my food. But
tomatoes are so cheap.
Well, then it was like
tomatoes all day long.
I was broke and I'd be like, oh, I'll get a good burger. And then they were like, do you want tomatoes on that? I was like, that's extra food. Yes.
Oh, you know, I see. Smart. Okay.
Yeah.
I used to hate broccoli. Broccoli, specifically the stems, would make me vomit, like make me so nauseous. My parents never believed it. And so my dad, he'd usually make like this mustard sauce that I could dip the broccoli stems in because they really wanted me to eat it, even though like literally like my gag reflex would go crazy. And one time there was a stem of broccoli that was enormous. It was like as thick as my arm. And my dad was like, if you eat it, I'll give you $20. Like, all right. Wow. And I really tried and I could not. I threw up on the deck outside. Hated broccoli. Now I love broccoli.
Did he give you 10 after you puked?
No, he didn't give me any money. He took away $20 from me. He was like, that's $20 back to old papa.
Yeah. I also didn't like vegetables as a kid, and now I love them, which is...
Broccoli in particular, it's crazy to me. My wife and I talk about this all the time. Because it's like, take some broccoli and just throw it in olive oil with salt and pepper and roast it for 30 minutes or whatever in the oven. It is the most delicious thing you've eaten in your life.
I don't know about that, but it is
so good. It's crazy.
It's not hard to make broccoli delicious is what I'll agree with.
All right. Sharkler says, what's something or someone who hasn't been in the comics for ages that you'd like to see brought back in comics or adaptations?
They do bring stuff back. It's hard to miss stuff in comics. They tend to bring stuff back around.
Yeah. Something that hasn't been in the comics for ages. I mean, this is top of mind just because we were talking about it with the Superman movie, but another blue and gold thing with Blue Beetle and Booster Gold would be fun. I feel like that pops up every couple of years, and every time I'm like, oh, what a fun duo, and then it doesn't work, and it goes away for a while.
I would love for them to bring back Blue Beetle and have it be like a badass series like it was.
Yeah, they did have it for a while. It was running until like last year, and it was pretty solid.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, well. This is from the Zen Man over on Twitch. I noticed CBC has a Threads account, but not a Mastodon account. Any plans on making a presence on the social network all the cool people are on?
Ooh.
I will say that through our Threads account, we are syndicated on the Fediverse, which includes Mastodon. So I haven't set up a Mastodon account specifically, but you should be able to read our posts on there.
It seems like with all your free time, though, you would be able to hook that up.
100%. The only social media place that I spend like a significant amount of time on right now, personally,
Tumblr.
Less on Tumblr since the CW ended. Blue Sky is where I spend most of my time. But I'm definitely like trying to spend more time on YouTube in the comments. We have some great folks who are watching and commenting and chatting over there. Okay. And
LinkedIn, just trying to sell yourself.
Yeah, LinkedIn, because I need jobs. Cool. Yeah. My resume is right there, everybody.
Have you considered OnlyFans yet?
I just had a piece on New York Magazine over the weekend. Check it out.
Hey, congrats, man.
Doing well. Doing real well, Pete.
Oh, congrats. That's awesome.
Oh, jeez. OnlyFans. You're on OnlyFans, right, Pete?
Nope.
OnlyFans.com, real made for me. No, I believe that was yours. Let me check.
That's definitely not something I would do or know how to do. Yeah, let's talk about this one.
Yeah, wait. Oh, do we have a question? I'm looking. Yeah, oh, here we go. I'm just going to drop your OnlyFans.
Please do not. I'm not going to do anything on that. So you spreading that.
It's real.
It's not real. I'm not.
It's real. It's OnlyFans.
If somebody gives money to that, I'm not going to do anything.
Pete LePage.
It's not real. So please don't spread that.
It's real. Derek Maynard says, with all the cartoon nostalgia comics, I'd love to see Thundar the Barbarian. That was a statement, Pete. That wasn't a question.
Well, it could have been a question. Are you nostalgia for cartoon comics? Is there something like, would you like to see a Bucky O'Hare come back? Or is there anything, you know, we did see Thundar the Barbarian, you know, kind of release something not too recently. That was pretty cool.
Man, the Herculoids. You know, one that I'm sure it has been done in comics, but I can't remember that might be interesting is Animaniacs. That was the first thing that came to mind.
Oh, my God, Animaniacs.
It's kind of surprising that, like, they haven't done a double feature Animaniacs Tiny Toons like they did back in the day, because that was such a great double hit back-to-back.
Mm-hmm. It really
Maybe
was.
They have. They probably have, but bring it back. Stanley says, do you think the big Marvel or DC Comic-Con panels are good for the industry or set unrealistic expectations? Well, great question. I will say, for anybody who's curious, just for context, Marvel is not doing a panel this year at Comic-Con, at least if we're talking like the TV movie stuff, I assume. They're not doing like a big Hall H panel for that, which is kind of surprising. Like last year, Deadpool and Wolverine came out and they had a surprise showing of Deadpool and Wolverine, like the first panel chatting about it. So I really thought they were going to do that for Fantastic Four, and maybe they still will since it comes out that weekend, but
yeah,
maybe not. And DC,
seems like it's teed up to happen though.
DC, same thing. They're not doing like a Superman post-mort panel, but they are doing a Peacemaker panel, I believe. Ooh. So I bet there'll be some surprises there. To answer Stanley's question, yes, I do think they said unrealistic expectations, but because there was this arms race that has been on for years to just, and it isn't just Marvel and DC, like every Hall H panel has to be like bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and more like absolutely wild in terms of what they're doing inside and outside the panel and everything. When like, frankly, the best panels I've been to are not the ones where it's crazy, gigantic spectacle parade of announcements, but actually people like talking about their work and getting into it, because personally that's what I find interesting. But what about you, Pete?
Well, I also think there's a really cool Hall H comic that's going to be maybe in the stack that will be fun to kind of talk about this kind of thing.
Yes. Michael Tillman asks, how much to sit on a garbage plate on your OnlyFans, Pete?
Yeah, I'm not going to do anything on OnlyFans.
All right. Well, so we'll chat. We'll talk about it offline. We'll figure it out. Straight Bullet says, how much is the tickle level Patreon again? I believe that's $6,000. I may have taken
do
that
down. Do not. Yeah, do not. None of that's real.
No, that was real. There's for a very long time.
People are, we're comedians, remember.
This yeah, I'm saying, real. But like if somebody had given us $6,000 to do a tickle video a la Riverdale, you wouldn't have done it, Pete?
I don't remember.
It's just a tickle video.
It's just a tickle video.
It was Kevin Keller. He does tickle videos. And we were joking and joking about it. And so we set up a Patreon level, $6,000. We'll film a tickle video. But it's down now because our Patreon is much more professional. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. And folks, that is it for your audience questions. Woo-hoo. Woo. We're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win 25 free dollars to Midtown Comics Online. And sometimes Long John Silver. Looks like the Zen Man is in.
Quick, at it.
Love it. Love it, Zen Man. Way to be. Okay, today's trivia is about the Battle Beast and a small nod to the legend Sly Stone. R.I.P. you amazing musician, you. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. What is Battle Beast's goal? Is it A, die a glorious death in battle? B, man, I am so hungry. C, Operation Breadbasket.
Well, that's not a person's name.
It sure is, buddy.
Operation Breadbasket is that's the name of a person?
That's why I put it in here, because I was so happy about it.
That's a crazy name.
It's a great name.
I'll say A.
This is my son, Operation Breadbasket.
I don't know.
This is my daughter. You know, I mean, that's just a fun
Samantha.
Name.
Samantha.
A is correct. Here we go. Question number two. What is Battle Beast's name? Is it A, Thok? B, wow, that Canadian tuxedo showcases how important they are. Or C, Gene Key.
I don't get that one.
Well, see, genes are key to that joke.
I don't get it. Zimat says A again. Is that
That's
correct?
Right. That is correct. Don't get tired of hitting that A button, because here we go. The last one. Who created Battle Beast? Is it A, Robert Kirkman and Corey Walker? B, Damn Girl Intense Much? Or C, Sue Yellen?
That one I got.
There we go.
I got that one. So good job, Pete. Still don't get the second one, though.
But oh, man, that's too bad.
A, final answer?
A is the final answer and the correct one.
Wow. Congratulations, the Zen Man. You are getting a gift card to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email and we'll get that to you. Pete, what is the secret movie you are referring to?
Of course, I'm talking about the 2021 hit Oscar-winning documentary, The Summer of Soul.
Hmm. Of course. That was supposed to be really good, right?
It's great.
There you go. Is that the Questlove did that?
Yeah, Questlove directed.
Yeah. All right. Quite the director, that guy. And I would like to direct all of you to the comic book shop tomorrow to pick up new comics. Pete, lots of stuff coming out tomorrow. What are you looking forward to in shops?
Oh, dude, I can't wait to fight with you later about all these comics.
How do you know? You haven't read any of them yet, because they come out tomorrow.
That is correct. But I can see the future sometimes. You know what I mean? I'm looking into my microphone. Dread of Hall H, number one. Absolute Batman number 10, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 10.
Good picks. Couple of things that I'm looking forward to. Jerry Duggan's been really hyping up this book, This Ends Tonight, and it has art by Jay Lee, who I love and who rarely does interior art nowadays, so excited to check that out. Very curious about Marvel Knights, The World to Come, number 2, after the cliffhanger of the first issue, which I will not spoil here, but that was a big one. And, I Was a Fashion School Serial Killer from Image Comics. Just a twisted, really, really dark book, but very funny and gross at the same time. So curious to check that out. Pete loves that shit.
Oh, man, it is not too much at all.
And you can check out all of those reviews and many more reviews at our Stack podcast that debuts Wednesday 9 a.m. both of the Comic Book Club feed and the Stack feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show. First of all, we want to thank SJ Word Burglar for coming on to talk about Word Burglar rhymes with comics. Next week, we're going to have a bunch of folks on the show. Dingo Doodles, Felix Erdick, and Avery Howitt are going to be here to talk about Fool's Gold, Death by Karaoke. And also Ed Cuddle is going to be here to talk about the new Deadpool VR game that came out. Comic Book Club News, our daily news show Monday through Friday. Both Comic Book Club News and Comic Book Club can be nominated for a podcast award. Podcastawards.com. Go sign up please nominate them in the People's Choice Arts and Comedy categories. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, we talk about Ironheart, Sons of a Gun. Our DC podcast, we talk about Superman. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and get ad-free versions of it and all the shows we do. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Hey, take care of yourself out there.
They sit on crappy couches and they let the secrets leak. And occasionally they let their special guest speak. So grab your grin.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.